You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, this is Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks, along with Aaron Freeman for Locked On Falcons. The Seahawks and Falcons getting ready to meet up in a Week 8 clash. Aaron, I'm looking forward to this conversation about a game between two teams coming off tough losses. Obviously, a tough season for the Falcons. The Seahawks coming off a difficult game against the Ravens, both looking to get back in the win column.
Absolutely. You know, the Falcons season, you know, is sort of circling the drain if it hasn't been completely flush, you know, with their 1-6 start. And it's going to be interesting to sort of see if they can get something positive going into their bye week next week before they start a very tough divisional slate where they have five consecutive divisional games, starting out on the road with New Orleans and then wrapping up sort of on a Thanksgiving game against the Saints as well. So they're getting bookended against their biggest rival. And so to have something positive to go into this bye week, I think, with a win against the Seahawks, I think would be a good thing for the Falcons moving forward.
Atlanta's going to be going into this game potentially without Matt Ryan. He exited their loss on Sunday dealing with an ankle issue. It sounds like right now they're just playing it day to day. Dan Quinn definitely did not rule out him being able to play in this game, but this would just be adding insult to injury with the way the season has started for the Falcons. How does Atlanta proceed going into this game against the Seahawks if Matt Ryan is not able to play in this game? The offense has been the thing that's kept them in a lot of games with the defense struggling, and now they're going to be without potentially their franchise quarterback. How can Atlanta survive with that?
It's going to be interesting without Matt Ryan if he does not play. And again, I don't have any sort of particular insights this early in the week, but it does seem like it's likely that he won't play. I think the Falcons are kind of playing it coy, just, you know, to play that sort of familiar game of, you know, trying to keep the opposing team on their toes a little bit with their preparation. But I think it's going to be tough for the Falcons to overcome that potential loss. They do have Matt Schaub, their backup, who is 38 years old. And it's going to be difficult for him to match the same things that Matt Ryan can do. But they do have some valuable weapons. I think he'll get some favorable opportunities because the Seahawks pass rush has been struggling a bit this year. So he should be able to find some time to deliver to those weapons like Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I think really what's going to be the concern right now is sort of what do the Falcons do from a game plan standpoint to make Matt Schaub comfortable. And one of the things that we noticed during the summer when Matt Schaub was playing in the preseason is that if you could get pressure on him, he would really struggle in those regards. He, you know, he's 38 years old. He doesn't want to get hit down that much, so he's prone to checking it down. So I think one of the things that the Falcons can do to make Schaub more comfortable is to play a little bit more under center than their traditional sort of more shotgun heavy drop back passing game, and do more rollouts and more play action, which has been sorely missed this season under offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter. And I think if they can do that, they do have a shot to at least be competitive in this game, and maybe, if you know, get a couple of breaks and maybe get this defense playing better, give them an opportunity maybe late in this game to potentially pull an upset against the Seahawks.
Schaub has never been known for his mobility throughout his entire career. So now being close to 40 years old, he's basically a statue. So the Seahawks, in my opinion, have no excuse at this point. You're going to week 8 of the season. You have just 11 sacks up to this point. Everybody knew that there was going to be growing pains because Jadeveon Clowney basically showed up 5 minutes before their season opener. So he was trying to learn the scheme on the fly, and he's done some nice things. He just hasn't been able to get any sacks since the season opener. He had a sack on Andy Dalton, and since then hasn't had a second one. He's been an effective run defender, but hasn't been able to get quite to the quarterback. He's been so close so many times, but this team has just really struggled. Three of the past five games, they have not been able to get a sack, and obviously there are other metrics to measure pass rushing ability, but I look at this Falcons offense, especially if they've got Matt Schaub back there. Not that Matt Ryan at this point in his career is a Michael Vick type athlete, but he looks like Michael Vick compared to Matt Schaub. This is a guy that, it, like I said, is a statue in the pocket. If you cannot get to him in this football game, a backup quarterback, 38 years old, and you're not able to generate some pressure at this stage of the season, guys should be ready to go, especially if Ziggy Ansah can return this week from an ankle injury. they've got the talent up there, but the guys just simply haven't been producing as expected. And if they're not able to do that and Matt Schaub can get comfortable, I still think he's got enough arm talent with the receivers they've got, Julio Jones and company, that this could be a game that ends up being much more competitive than the records would indicate.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think it starts up front for the Seahawks, and I'll be curious to sort of see what the Seahawks look like on the back end. I know both teams were involved with some trades. The Falcons traded Mohamed Sanu, their wide receiver, to New England, got a second-round pick back for him, and that's going to be a potential big loss for the Falcons because he's primarily their slot receiver. But I also understand that the Seahawks made a trade with the Lions to get Quandre Diggs. Is Diggs going to be more of a safety? Is he going to be more of a nickel corner for them? What sort of role do you envision for Diggs this week?
Perfect question coming off of Pete Carroll's Wednesday press conference, because, of course, that was the first thing he was asked about, and it sounds like they're going to be playing him at free safety to start off. He's going to be playing both safety spots. So it sounds like this trade was made to upgrade that position. They've been frustrated with Tedrick Thompson, who's been really inconsistent. He's had a couple really nice clutch interceptions, but he's also given up some plays downfield that never should have happened. A play on Sunday against the Ravens allowed Miles Boykin to just run past him when he was playing the center field deep third, and Pete Carroll was frustrated. He called it a distasteful play. That's as blunt as you're going to hear Pete Carroll. So clearly they were looking to upgrade the position, and he didn't think Diggs was going to be available. I'm surprised the Lions traded him too. This is a guy that was a Pro Bowl alternate last year, has not performed quite as well this season, but this is a guy that he'll come up and stick people. He's really solid in coverage. I was impressed with some of the old film from 2017 when he was playing slot corner as well, and Pete Carroll made it sound like he's going to potentially play a few snaps in the nickel at slot as well. So they're bringing in a versatile defender, and they need it. Their secondary needed a reinforcement. This is not the Legion of Boom anymore. So certainly going against a team that's got Julio Jones and several other capable receivers, this is a really big pickup, and I'm expecting he's going to potentially start just a few days after being acquired here.
Yeah, I think that matchup on the back end is going to be interesting, because I remember the last time the Falcons and the Seahawks played back in 2017, I think the Seahawks made a calculated mistake of playing a lot of man coverage, a lot of cover one, and that allowed guys like Julio Jones and Sanu to really, I think, take advantage of some of the matchups they had on the outside. And, you know, Sanu's not going to be there, but I think if the Seahawks do decide to play a lot more of those looks, like they did 2 years ago, I think that will give an opportunity for guys like Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, and even in a case where you have a backup like Matt Schaub, you know, one-on-ones with Julio and Ridley on the outside is certainly things that I think even he can take advantage of.
I would be surprised, based on what the Seahawks have done this year, seeing more two-deep safety looks. And with Diggs, maybe they changed that up a little bit, but he played quite a bit of two-safety looks deep as well when he was with the Lions. So I'm expecting they're still going to mix in quite a bit of zone as they've been doing most of this season. Although if Schaub's back there, that does change things a little bit. You don't have to worry about being in man and having him take off and run for big yardage. Not something he's going to be doing, especially at this point of his career. But I'd anticipate they're going to be playing a lot of zone. Maybe they'll bring some extra pressure, especially with Matt Schaub being a quarterback in the past that's wilted a bit when he's had the pocket collapse. And you said he was doing that in the preseason as well. So I would anticipate if they're not able to get with that front four, again, I don't think they have any excuse at this point. They should be able to generate pressure with that group, especially the Falcons have had trouble this year protecting Matt Ryan. The offensive line has not played as well as they anticipated up to this point. If they're not able to get home with that front four, that's worrisome. They may need to go to their blitzing with their linebackers. They've got three really good ones, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, and Michael Kendricks. But again, they need to prove they can get the front four going with the pass rush and be able to get to the quarterback without bringing extra blitzers. To this point, they haven't been able to do that. When we come back for the second quarter, we're going to switch gears a little bit here. We're going to look at the Falcons defense going against the Seahawks offense. We'll be right back. It's Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Before we move forward, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go and you could increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed? Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform, it's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter what you bet or how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back to Crossover Wednesday. This is Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks, joined by Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons. Last quarter, we were looking at the Falcons' offense against the Seahawks' defense going into this Week 8 contest in Atlanta. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit. Aaron, the Falcons have had a really tough season on defense, and it's crazy to think that with Dan Quinn being the head coach, a defensive-minded coach, but they've really struggled creating turnovers. They've only had a handful of sacks this year, so they haven't been able to generate much pressure on opposing quarterbacks. It's just been a really tough season. What would you attribute to being the biggest reason why this defense has plummeted to the point that it is now? Is it scheme-related? Is it injuries, underperformance from certain players?
Can I say all of the above? I think that's probably the most accurate way of putting it. They haven't really been able to get a lot of pressure this year, as you mentioned. I can't even remember how many games it's been since they got a sack. I think it's been five now in a row where they haven't had a sack. They were able to dial up a little bit more pressure last week against the Rams, but given how much the Rams' offensive line has really struggled this year to protect Jared Goff, you thought that they would be able to have a lot more success and break that streak of sackless games, and they weren't able to accomplish that. And, you know, I know the Seahawks have a reputation for being a bad offensive line historically. They've been better the last couple of years, and so, you know, they've been better, I think, than the Rams have been this season. So if they couldn't get sacks against the Rams, I don't know if they're going to be able to get sacks against Russell Wilson, even behind the Seahawks offensive line. So that's been a problem. And then I think one of the bigger issues has been the breakdowns and the mental errors on the back end. They just have, you know, a bunch of young guys. They made some changes at the cornerback position, went away from some veterans like Robert Alford and Brian Poole, and the guys that they sort of brought in to replace them, guys like Isaiah Oliver, rookie Kendall Sheffield, Devontae Casey, who spent last year at safety, just quite haven't lived up to expectations. And you couple that with the injury to Keanu Neal at strong safety, and you guys in Seattle felt this a couple of years ago when Cam Chancellor was out of the lineup, and the defense just didn't really feel the same. And that's really been a major issue for the Falcons. And then you have, you know, inconsistent linebacker play where Deion Jones has been good, but the other linebacker in Devondre Campbell, who's supposed to be our version of KJ Wright, just is not anywhere close to that. So it's one of those things where it seems to sort of all be coming apart for the Falcons. The positive that you can say is that they did play better against the Rams. They did look more like the Falcons defense that we've seen over the last several seasons, which isn't good, but at least is competent and can keep things competitive. The problem that happened a week ago was that the offense just really did not do anything against the Rams defense, largely due to the pass rush. And so, you know, that sort of exposed that defense in the second half of the game, and the Rams were able to put up a bunch of points there and really put the game away for them. And so they really just need to if they can play like that and get some boost from the offense, I think they have a shot. But it's really going to be a tough thing for them going up against Russell Wilson because they have really struggled against mobile quarterbacks so far this season.
Yeah, they weren't able to get pressure on Jared Goff, who is fairly mobile in the pocket. He's not somebody that's going to run for a bunch of yards, but he moves around the pocket fairly well. But that Rams offensive line has certainly had their struggles. The Seahawks offensive line, I'm not going to sit here and say that they are a top 10 group because they definitely are not. They've had some injuries. Really, they haven't lived up to the expectations. There was a lot of hype out there going into the season that this unit was going to be a top 10 unit. Dwayne Brown was mentioning that he thought they could be one of the best in the league, and they had four returning starters. Mike Iupati joining that group looked to be an upgrade as long as he was healthy over J.R. Sweezy. And the group started off slow. The first couple games really struggled, but I feel like they've done a much better job. Even this last week against the Ravens, Wilson got hit seven times, but most of those hits came when he was sitting in the pocket for several seconds. He had plenty of time to find receivers. Got to give Baltimore a ton of credit, though. They were really assignment sound. They were sticking to receivers. Receivers couldn't get open. And then, of course, the elements as well. That's something Russell Wilson won't have to worry about in this game, though, playing in Atlanta. Won't have to worry about having to deal with rain and wind and all that stuff, which he traditionally has not played well in. He's played much better in stable environments and domes and stuff. So he's going to be excited about that opportunity. This offensive line has shown they can pass protect well enough with Wilson's mobility, his ability to extend plays, that this offense can keep rolling. Last week was the first time this year that Wilson really looked out of sync. I anticipate that he's going to be able to bounce back. And if the Falcons are going to continue struggling with broken assignments, that is not a good situation against the Seahawks, especially coming off a loss. They're going to be motivated to get back in the win column. Russell Wilson is going to take advantage of those opportunities. But at the same token, I do think there's one big thing that is going to impact this game potentially, and that's just the familiarity aspect. Obviously, Dan Quinn, from his time being the defensive coordinator in Seattle, he knows Russell Wilson. He knows what the Seahawks want to do offensively. And even though the Falcons have really struggled on the defensive side of the football, to me, that could be a great equalizer in this game. If the players are still bought in, which it sounds like they are, then I think Dan Quinn's familiarity with the Seahawks could certainly be beneficial for the Atlanta Falcons in this football game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to sort of see how the Falcons respond given that situation that you laid out. I think one of the things that they've been able to do better in recent weeks and led to some success on the defensive side of the ball has been relying heavily on their man coverage and basically dumbing down the defense, sort of cut back on some of these mental mistakes and breakdowns that they've been having. But, you know, that's a recipe for disaster against a quarterback like Russell Wilson, because you have guys with their backs to the ball, to the quarterback, and then when he can do the things that he can do, extending plays and heaving up deep balls to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, that can be very problematic. So it's going to be interesting to sort of see how the Falcons sort of play it, and do they go back to more zone, which then opens up more possibilities for them to have some of these breakdowns in the zone because they don't necessarily play the bend but don't break style that you traditionally associate with this Dan Quinn defense and the Seahawk defense of sort of giving up the underneath stuff but not giving up the big plays and getting the stops on third downs and in the red zone to get the ball back to the offense. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think you're right. Wilson really does have a capacity that he could go off in this game. I think the Falcons have kind of benefited a little bit from Jared Goff just not being the player that I think people thought he could be in the Sean McVay offense last week. And so Wilson is not a guy that you can really take lightly. And my only hope is that the Seahawks really commit to running the football and play a conservative game plan. And the Falcons' run defense has been improved this season with additions like Tyler Davison from New Orleans and Alan Bailey from Kansas City. And they've been much better at stopping the run this season than they have been in a very long time. And my hope is that Seattle will just basically commit to running the football, and that will play somewhat into the strength of the Falcons defense, if you can say there is a strength for this defense. And then that will maybe keep things at bay and not allow Wilson to wreak total havoc on this defense and this passing secondary.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I was going to bring this up. Obviously, the Seahawks love to run the football as much as any team out there. And the Atlanta Falcons defense, as maligned as it's been, they're sixth in the league right now in rushing defense in yards per attempt. So they have been beyond competent in that particular regard. And even though the Seahawks love to run the football, and Chris Carson's certainly a guy that's a difficult task for any defense to slow down, this does strike me as a game, looking at the statistics, looking at where the struggles have been for the Falcons, that the Seahawks need to be able to come out early and set the tone with their passing game to open up the run, not the other way around. And I kind of made the argument last weekend should have been that way. And the Seahawks came out against the Ravens, and they looked like they were getting some traction with the ground game after connecting on a few deep balls. And then it kind of went away from the run game. And when they tried to go back to it, the Ravens' two big defensive tackles just started stuffing the line. They couldn't get anything going in the second half, and they became pretty one-dimensional. I look at this as a similar game from the aspect that with the changes the Falcons have had in the secondary, the struggles they've had with coverage breakdowns, the inability to get after the quarterback, that this strikes me as a game, if the Seahawks are going to have success, it's going to be with Russell Wilson throwing the football early and often, then let that run game get working off the passing attack. And I think they're more capable of doing that, especially after having a rough game last week. But again, that familiarity aspect, I really am curious to see what Dan Quinn does this week with his knowledge of Russell Wilson and what the Seahawks like to do. That certainly could be a beneficial advantage for the Falcons going into this football game. When we come back for the third quarter, we've had a chance to look at both sides of the football for both teams. We're going to start discussing some keys to this football game. What's ultimately going to decide who wins this game in Atlanta? We're going to make our predictions as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Crossover Wednesday. This is Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks alongside Aaron Freeman for Locked On Falcons. We've looked at the Seahawks offense against the Falcons defense. We've looked at the Falcons offense against the Seahawks defense. Now it's time to break down a few keys to the game. Aaron, obviously it's been a really rough season so far for the Falcons, but they've still got a ton of talent on both sides of the ball, especially if Matt Ryan is able to turn the corner and play in this football game. That obviously gives him a much better chance to win. What do you think are the couple biggest keys here? How can the 1-6 Falcons pull off a big upset against the visiting Seahawks?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I am sort of assuming at this point in time that Matt Schaub will start the game. I think the first key is going to be a good game plan. Again, as I mentioned before, I think playing more under center, getting into more of a rollout, play action, heavy offense, taking some shots down the field, hoping to attack maybe the Seahawks secondary as they're making some changes with the addition of Quandre Diggs and maybe get some growing pains going on that side of the ball, I think will be the key. I think the offense getting off to a fast start for the Falcons is going to be a key for them. They cannot afford to stagnate and fall behind and let the Seahawks pound the ball down their throat and Russell Wilson to pick apart this defense. I think the other key is going to be, you talk about familiarity, I think it cuts both ways for both of these teams, you know, with both of these defensive-minded coaches knowing what the other team is going to do defensively and as well as offensively. So I think, you know, sort of who brings enough wrinkles to the table with their game plan to catch the other team off guard, I think is going to be sort of critical. That will give one of these teams potentially an opportunity and a leg up early in this game to sort of set the tone for this game. And then I think the other thing is just going to be the Falcons defense, you know, playing up to par in terms of, you know, some of the talent that they have and some of these young players, you know, seemingly getting their feet wet and maybe some of the strides that they made or seemingly made a week ago, continuing that progress this week going into against the Seahawks game, because I think the Seahawks offense with Russell Wilson, with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf can give them a lot of problems in the passing game. And so I think that's going to be a tough matchup for them, and hopefully they are able to step up to the plate.
I'm looking at this game. I hate to sound like a broken record, but absolutely a quick start is crucial for the Seahawks here, because you don't want to have a hangover after last week's loss, because that was a game that was knotted up after three quarters. They felt they had a great chance to beat the Baltimore Ravens and then unfortunately had a second turnover that led to points. They spotted the Ravens 14 points. And you're going against a team, and Seattle's had trouble with this in the Pete Carroll era. They have issues with playing down to opponents, and I still respect what the Atlanta Falcons have on both sides of the ball. They still have a ton of talent. So this should not be a game, and KJ Wright was even talking about this after last week's loss. We're going to go into this game prepared to play a really good football team. We don't care what the record is. The Falcons have plenty of talent. This is a team that can beat anybody any Sunday. So I don't anticipate they're going to come in here thinking this is going to be a cakewalk, but they've always had issues playing down to competition and starting really slow in games against teams they should be able to handle fairly easily. So to me, especially on the road, a 10 a.m. start Pacific time. The Seahawks have actually done fairly well in those early games, already have won one of those games, two of them actually earlier this year in Pittsburgh and Cleveland. So they've had some success in those early games, but still a difficult task for a team on the West Coast. You got to come out early and set the tone against this team, because I feel like with the way this season has gone for the Falcons, if the Seahawks come out and punch them in the mouth a few times and they're able to put up 10, 14 really quick points, Russell Wilson's firing all cylinders, they connect on a few deep balls, or the offense is just humming, maybe the quick passing game gets going, some yards after the catch, whatever it is, that the Falcons are going to be much more liable to wilt at that point with the way that the season has gone, some of the injuries they've had, the issues stopping other teams defensively, trouble protecting their quarterback, you name it, it just all starts to snowball. So a quick start matters. And again, I don't want to sound cliche, but especially in a game like this, you've got Matt Schaub probably going to be starting at quarterback. And Schaub's done some good things in this league. He was a really solid starter for the Texans at one point, but that was several years ago. This is a player that's well past his prime, still going to be able to complete some passes if he's got time in the pocket. But Seattle has got to be able to get home with their front four. Jaron Reed's going to be having his second game back off suspension. He played 85% of their snaps last week. They need Jaron Reed to get back to what he did last year, 10.5 sacks in 2018. If they can get him creating penetration in the interior, that is going to make life much easier for Jadeveon Clowney, Ziggy Ansah, maybe Quentin Jefferson, Rasheem Green, some of those edge rushers. They've got to be able to get home with four guys. That should be their main goal this week, not just for this game, but to use it as a stepping stone for later in the season. If they're not able to do that and Matt Schaub has time to throw, then I think the Falcons can still win this football game even without Matt Ryan, because he, when he's comfortable in the pocket, he's still a guy that can complete passes. He can make plays. He's got the receivers at his disposal. He's got a good tight end, which the Seahawks have had a lot of trouble over the years covering tight ends. Recent weeks has been a struggle for them as well. They got lucky last week that Mark Andrews had butter hands in wet weather and couldn't catch anything. Several of those plays were perfect throws from Lamar Jackson. That's not going to happen this week when you're not dealing with the elements anymore. So they've got to be able to get pressure with that front four and prove we don't have to bring extra rushers to be able to generate any pressure. If they're able to do that and they're able to get a fast start offensively, then this should be a game that they win fairly easily. But as you and I both know, there's no such thing as an easy victory in this league week to week. Things change. It's so fluid with teams, how they come out and play. The Falcons could easily come out in this game and look like the team they were a couple years ago and really come out and put some points on the board, play good defense. So I think it's going to be an exciting matchup despite the record discrepancy.
Absolutely. Corbin, you got any predictions for this outcome this weekend?
So I've been thinking this over, and I've mentioned it a couple times. I think that this is going to be a closer game than many may think it's going to be when you look at the standings, and you're like, it's a 1-6 team hosting a 5-2 team. But the Seahawks have won a lot of those games in really close calls, and several of them were against teams that don't have good records. So to me, they have they've obviously won a lot of games, but they have yet to prove themselves to me as a true contender in the NFC from a consistency standpoint. There have been times they've looked like, man, this team could be really good. And there's been times like, yeah, this defense is, there's nothing imposing about this group. The offense is doing just enough to win games. So I look at games like this as potential trap games, even without Matt Ryan being in the lineup. I do think the Seahawks are going to be able to get enough pressure on Matt Schaub to be able to generate a couple turnovers in this football game. I think they will get a handful of sacks in this game. It'll kind of be a nice game for them after not getting a sack three of the last five. Really a turning point for them. I don't know. We'll see if it's going to be that, but I think they're going to have an opportunity to get to Matt Schaub in this game, and I think they're going to have a chance to make some turnovers, and I feel like they should be able to move the football well. It's going to be closer than some think, but I'm going to go with 32-20 being the final score, and I think it's going to be a little closer than that. Into the fourth quarter, the Seahawks will pull away just a little bit, but I think on the road, this is going to be a little tougher test than some people may anticipate for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good prediction there. I'm going to go with a score of 24-17. I would almost feel confident predicting the Falcons to win this game if Matt Ryan was if I was confident that Matt Ryan was going to play. At this point in time, I'm not. There still is a possibility. It's worth mentioning that he will play. But I think just because the Falcons are heading into a bye, and really there's, you know, you could say there's nothing really for him to play for in terms of trying to salvage this season. You know, if the Falcons were, you know, 3-4 instead of 1-6, maybe they would try to gut him out there to get a must needed win in the NFC to keep their playoff hopes alive. But those playoff hopes pretty much were dashed with their, you know, 5 consecutive losses now. So I do think the Falcons will have a chance against the Seahawks, because I do think there are some favorable matchups for them, given what you mentioned with the limited pass rush. But I don't know if Matt Schaub can put enough together in order to get this offense over the hump against the Seahawks defense. And so, yeah, 24-17, I think, is really the score. And you know, I think you're right. This game should be competitive for probably, you know, a quarter or two. But eventually, I think the Falcons' limitations and shortcomings will get exposed, and Seattle will sort of pull away and comfortably win in the end.
I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, despite the records. Throw those out the window. Two teams that know each other really well. The coaching staffs obviously know each other really well. I'm pulling for Matt Ryan to be able to play in this game. I'm with you with their record. They're probably not going to push the issue. If they had a little better record, then they maybe try to gut it out. I'd like to see him play, because you always want to beat the opponent at their best. But Matt Schaub is a quality backup. It's still a guy that can get the job done. So I expect this will be a good one in Atlanta. It's been a blast. I'm looking forward to watching this game.
Absolutely, Corbin. I'm looking forward to it. You know, at this point in time, the season's over for the Falcons, but I'm just looking for entertaining games. And at the very least, Russell Wilson running for, you know, 80 yards rushing will certainly be entertaining for me.
Well, it'd be kind of like the Lamar Jackson experience the Seahawks went through this past weekend. And that was, you know, sitting in the press box watching, like, look, yes, he's carving up the Seahawks, but this is pretty fun to watch. It's exciting. So if Russell Wilson has some big rushing yards, I'm not going to sit there and complain. But one last question real quick before we sign off here. Dan Quinn obviously was the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks for a couple years. It's been a really tough season for them. They missed the playoffs a year ago as well. So he is on the hottest of hot seats. Do you think if the Falcons can find a way to win this game, does that give him any hope of potentially saving his job? Or has he already lost it?
I think he's pretty much lost it. I think the only real possibility for him to save his job is for the Falcons to run the table and somehow manage to finish the season 10-6. Or maybe 9-7, I guess, you know, going 8-1 over these last 9 games could possibly do it. But I think really it's all lost. I think really right now the big question surrounding Dan Quinn and his job security is whether or not he could lose his job on Monday morning. If the Seahawks come into Atlanta and embarrass this team in front of the home crowd and you know, put like a, you know, 40 burger on them, and this team, you know, gets blown out by several scores, there is a strong possibility that the Falcons will decide to relieve Dan Quinn of his head coaching services as early as Monday morning. But I think really at this point in time, the team is hoping to fight and at least prolong what seems to be inevitable at this point and at least allow Dan Quinn to retain his job until the end of the season.
I've had a chance to talk to him a couple, and it's a really nice guy, and he's had a lot of success until the last couple of years. I still believe he's a great football coach, but sometimes things just don't go your way, and they've had a lot of things that certainly have gone awry this year in Atlanta, but they'll have a chance to at least give him another big win here against his former employer. Going to be a fun game. Thanks for listening in. Make sure to check out Locked On Falcons. You can find the podcast on Twitter, obviously Stitcher, Spotify, all those major podcast platforms. You can subscribe. Also subscribe to Locked On Seahawks. You can visit us on Twitter as well, and we're on all of those podcast platforms. Glad that you listened in. Enjoy the game.